Hi, I'm Terrell Turner, and today on The Stuff Your Bookkeeper Isn't Telling You, we're going to talk about something that is a trend for a lot of, probably, I would say, unethical business owners or unethical bookkeepers and accountants, and that is the way they are using the F word in accounting and how they do business. And we're going to talk about some of the current events, what's going on, what does that really mean for businesses, and how the two work together. So stay tuned for today's episode. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this topic. And Lola, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Terrell?
I am doing very well. Doing very well. I see you got your water ready, so you must be ready to have this conversation today.
I am. I'm ready to stay hydrated, you know, to make sure that I'm prepared. So I'm excited. Let's jump into it. Let's do it.
Awesome. Now, as I said in the intro, you know, today, one of the things that I want to talk about is something that I've seen happening more and more. And I think it's unethical. And, you know, as we've seen different things pop up, and I will say, I talk to a lot of accounting and finance firm owners. And the thing that I've seen is a lot of them do tend to use the F word in their marketing. They tend to use it on their website, on their social media. And I'm like, I after talking to some, I understand why they're using the F word. And I'm like, I think that's just highly unethical. That's not in the best interest of the client. And so, you know, to for those of you that are listening and watching, probably wondering, like, you know, is it really that serious? And I will say the F word that I'm talking about is full service. Full is the F word that I'm talking about. And what I mean by that is, you know, before I even go any further, let me get your thoughts on when you see an accounting firm advertising themselves as full service, what are some of the thoughts that go through your mind?
They don't really know what they want to do. So they're just trying to cast a wide net out there, see what sticks and see what they get customers for.
Okay. No, I think you're absolutely, I would totally agree with you, because whenever I've talked to people, and I've even asked some accountants and firm owners, like, when you say you're full service, what does that mean? And one of the things that they'll say is, oh, we do everything. We can help a client with anything related to accounting, finance for their business. And in the back of my mind, as I'm listening to them, I'm thinking, like, you are a lie. You cannot help them with everything.
First of all, I would agree with that, but I also think you're being a little bit too hard on these firms, and the statement of it being unethical, I think, is a bit of a stretch in my opinion. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't companies that are or people that are just trying to sell whatever they're selling and they don't have the expertise and it's a bunch of nonsense. But I think about us, like when we first started, we were offering taxes and we quickly realized like that wasn't something we wanted to do. And even when we started our business, we really had to kind of work on niching down into exactly what it is that we wanted to do. So I'm kind of giving the benefit of the doubt here. Like, you don't know better. Or, hey, you know, maybe you're not getting traction in one area. Maybe, hey, you're not that good in everything. So you're just thinking like, let me just do a little bit and see what sticks. I mean.
But that's the part that I think it becomes the unethical. Now, I do understand, like, you know, I think it's kind of like, you know, small children. There are things that small children do. Like, for example, small children are typically very selfish until they learn how to do things differently. Or like, for example, if you take a small child into the store and you go, let's say if you're going through a grocery store, you're going through a toy store, like if you don't watch them, they're liable to steal something and walk out because they just don't know that's wrong.
Yeah.
And like, I've had this experience with some of my, like, you know, really young nieces and nephews. Like, let's say, you know, they're like two years old or whatever, where they're walking through the store, they see something they like, they just like, for example, if you walk by the candy aisle, if they see it, they just grab it. They don't realize in their mind, like, hey, this doesn't belong to me. Like, you have to like teach them that behavior. And I think it's, you know, not to say that, hey, they're intentionally trying to be unethical, but that behavior is unethical. And I do think for when I say unethical, you know, I mean, from the standpoint that like when you're starting a firm, something that I've seen a lot of firms do is they're not necessarily focused on how do I help solve a problem for my client? They're just focused on how do I make money for my firm? And I've even had conversations like early on when, you know, I was deciding to start our firm. I'm not going to say any names, but I will say had some conversation with some accountants. And some of the things that they brought up, I'm just like, you seem to be very focused on how to put money in your pocket. And you're not even at all concerned about actually helping the clients, helping the business owners that you're trying to support. You're just focused on how can I pretty much take money from them and do as little work as possible. And that's the part that I think that I've seen a trend of people who tend to have that mindset are the ones that tend to, you know, advertise the whole, hey, we can do everything or we can support all your needs. Because I'm like, at the end of the day, you can't support all of the needs of a person.
I would agree. And I guess maybe we just divide them into two categories. There's the people that just don't know better, right? But then I do think there's people who are intentionally really just focused on doing what's best in their best interest versus focusing on what's in the best interest of the client. Now, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, like you should think about what's in your best interest as an accounting firm or whatever, or do what's in your best interest. But the benefit should come from doing what is in the best interest of the client. The money that you make should come from doing what is in the best interest of your client, because ultimately, and I think this is a mindset that I've noticed that tends to be lacking, when you're so focused on doing what is in your best interest and thinking about yourself and how you can benefit, a lot of times, if you notice, like those customers that or those clients don't stay with you long term. You might get a short term benefit out of looking out for yourself, but long term, in terms of building confidence, in terms of building the relationship where people feel like this person knows what they're talking about, and I know that they have my best interest, and I trust that they are doing what's in the best interest of my business. Like, it's very clear when you talk to people, when you talk to business owners that are like focused on just delivering and selling, like accounting firms that are just like, hey, this is what we do. They don't ask any questions about your business. They don't ask any questions about, you know, how can they tailor what they're offering to your business. It's just, hey, these are the five things. This is how much it costs. You know, throw the numbers together. Don't give you financials. I remember, like, I'm not going to mention names, but one of the most hilarious situations to me was when we were talking to a client who had experience, like, I guess the former accountant, who basically when they came back and they were looking at their financials from the prior year, asked the accountant, like, I guess the accountant came back, was like, hey, this is the result. This is how much you owe on your taxes or whatever. And the accountant, and then they were like, what the heck? Like, I don't understand. Like, what is this? What's driving this? And then basically the explanation was some lousy, flimsy one. And it was like, you're the accountant that's doing the bookkeeping for this person and you don't understand. Like, you didn't take action and you didn't do what you needed to do to make sure that this person was aware of what was going on with their numbers. And now you're basically just, I mean, you're just billing them, right? So there wasn't a care in the world about, hey, are we doing what's in the best interest of our client? So,
yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and I agree, because I think when I started looking at it, because, and maybe it's just my nerdy side of wanting to understand kind of how do things happen and why do things happen? And one of the things that I looked at when, you know, having so many conversations with different, you know, different accounting firms and finance firms, of really understanding, you know, what did the industry of accounting and finance look like from the firm's perspective? And I think, you know, there was a period of time where the model was really designed around, you know, the hourly rate, the billable rate, mm-hmm. like that's what you focused on. Like you didn't really focus on what was the best interest of the client. It was, hey, this would be a great client because they have a lot of problems and it's going to take us a lot of time to work on this stuff. So people really got excited about the billable hours. And
yeah,
one of the things that I noticed that even, and that was kind of more when you looked at your bigger firms, but then when you got to the smaller firms, the history kind of was really using taxes as the segue to, you know, to start a firm and build it on the taxes. And one of the things that you started seeing over time is people started asking themselves, well, tax season only happens, you know, maybe once if they file extensions, maybe there's some mm-hmm. that trickle throughout the year. But a lot of firms were trying to figure out, how do we actually get steady revenue throughout the entire year? And what some of them actually came out and told me is they started offering these other services, like some started offering bookkeeping. And when I looked at the stuff they were doing, I'm like, you're not even doing the bookkeeping right. Just like, how can you honestly advertise that you offer bookkeeping services? And then when we look at it, so what some of them were doing is they waited until the end of the year, or they waited till like November to try to catch it all up.
Oh my gosh.
But it's just like, you've been asking the client to pay you a monthly fee and you haven't been doing anything each month. Like,
yeah,
each
month, that's wrong.
You've been doing nothing.
Yeah, that's wrong and that's dirty. Like, that is unethical. That is unethical. And, you know, I think that the dynamic, like when you talked about the history, I think things are changing also because honestly, like years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, whatever, 15, 20 years ago, I remember when my dad is an accountant by profession as well. And I remember he would do like the whole balancing of the books and reconciliations on this like huge, like, you know, book or whatever. And basically none of it was done in the system. None of it was done on the computer. And I think at the time, business owners, when you started with your accountant, I can't imagine like having to switch over and replace your accountant in a period like that, because it's like, hey, you know, you feel like you're stuck with this person. Like, listen, like I've been going to this person for 15 years. This person is doing my dad's taxes, was my father's accountant, going to be my accountant, to where the idea of accounting was so complex at the time, to where I think people didn't really have as many options, or felt like they didn't have as many options, or the pain of switching or finding a new accountant was so much more than just staying with the one that they had. But now with like the dynamic changing and the availability of resources and how everything is like, it's easier for you to find an accountant. Doesn't mean that it's easier for you to find the best accountant for your business, but it is easier for you to find an accountant. So I think it's so important for business, like for accounting businesses, to realize that people have options. And part of honestly the reason, which is why we do the show that we do, is once people... Oftentimes people don't know better, people being the business owners that are not the accounting firms, like they don't know better. So like if you're giving them crappy work and you're not giving them, you're not reconciling their accounts. So you're like, you're not giving them information that kind of helps them make the decisions in their business. Like for them, they just care. A lot of business owners, especially the ones that don't have any accounting and finance background, like they just want to make sure that, hey, they pay what they owe. And IRS doesn't come after them. And like, that's kind of the idea, right? But really, when it comes to accounting and finance, like you really need to be the partner to your business owner, right? Like you need to, depending on what they're paying, depending on what they're getting from you, at a minimum, you should be providing financials, whatever the cadence is. And you should be providing accurate financials. So for me, I think like we're in a period where like, as people start to put out more content, like as we've put out more content, there's been a lot of people that have come to us and said, wow, like there are a lot of things I kind of didn't understand about accounting and finance because of your content, like it's so much clearer. And I think the more that people have a clearer understanding of what they should be expecting from their bookkeeper, the harder it's going to be for bookkeepers and accounting firms that are using the F word to really be able to retain clients. Because once you know, it's like, you know, if I go like on relationships, it's like, once you know there's something better out there, why would I stay with you? Like, once I know that there's someone better out there for me, why would I stay with you? Why would I have to stay in this crappy relationship where you're giving me 5%?
I mean, yeah. I think that's a good point that a lot of, I'm wondering, as things are changing and it does become a lot easier for people to find other options. I'm wondering how many accountants and how many bookkeepers, their business is in jeopardy because, you know what, people are going to find better options.
And I think that's the thing. Like, and I think accounting has been so, I don't even know if this is a word. I'm just going to say that English is not my first language, so that's my excuse. Accounting has been so complexified. It's been made so complex. I don't even know if that's a word. Accounting has been made so complex to where I think in all honesty, accountants have used that as an excuse. Right? Like when you're explaining things to your client, or when you're like, when they're like, okay, what is this? Like, how do you explain this? What is like one of the things that I've been asked so much by like my non-finance counterparts is like, what is an accrual? Okay. that's been like, I'm not even gonna lie. That's been like one of the main questions I've gotten. And so like, I think sometimes there's this idea of like, for example, with the what is an accrual question, like you need to be able to understand yourself. Like, why are we booking an accrual? Why do we book an accrual? Like, what is the purpose behind it? How does this benefit the business owner, the operational counterpart? And I think sometimes we count so much, or not we, but the idea of like, it's kind of like the value of like a complex process, right? Like where you feel like, man, this thing is so hard. Only I can figure it out. Right? Like accounting is so hard. Only I can do your financials for you. Only I can pull your numbers for you. And the problem is sometimes I've noticed like with some of these companies is like, because you don't know better as the business owner, it's easy for some of these companies that offer like the full based service accounting for you to be like, well, this is good enough for you because you don't know better, right? This is what you're getting. To where as they start to become more, business owners start to become more exposed to like podcasts like this, different platforms, and start to understand like, man, like I should be getting more out of my accountant. Like we have a whole episode we do like, should you fire your accountant, that Terrell does. Like, those are all resources that have been used to like help people understand like, what should I really be expecting? Because I think sometimes because the accounting profession has been made so complex, people don't even know like, okay, really, like what should my accountant be doing for me? Because it's been made so complex. And I think that is such a big key that is starting to get like improved. And I think the more simplified it is, or at least to a point where you can understand at a basic level, what should I be expecting as a business owner from my accountant, the more these businesses are going to be in jeopardy. Because if you can't even do one thing well, and you're trying to do all six things, like, no, you're not keeping any clients, because eventually they will find out. And when they find out, they will leave.
No, I mean, I think that's a really good point. I mean, so if I'm gathering correctly of what you were saying, is one perspective of it, you're talking about how people are, or I guess accounting firms are looking to probably stabilize their own business. But they're hyper-focused on stabilizing their own business. Do you feel like it is part of what you're saying that when they are hyper-focused on stabilizing their businesses, it causes them to focus more on themselves and doing what's best for their firm, as opposed to doing what's mutually beneficial between the client and the firm?
I think so. I think that they're focused on maybe doing what is in their best interest because they're trying to stabilize their business. The challenge with that, though, is that worked when people didn't have the tools and the resources that they need, like to understand the process clearly. But I think now that people have more access to information, it's easier for you to understand what it is that's missing. And so I think it's important to think about that as you offer services.
You know, that's a good point, because one of the things that I think about was, you know, when we've done taxes a couple of very, very, very few taxes. And one of the things that I was thinking
never
about,
to be done again. We don't offer tax services. People have asked us that like every year. Like, do you know? No.
And you know, and I think about like there was a client that we were doing taxes for. And when I think about, you know, like I had a conversation with them and I started realizing that, hey, you know what? This is beyond our skill set. Or one is we're not the best person to do it. It's just like we're CPAs, we can do it and we're qualified to do it, but this isn't the best use of our time. And so I ended up having a conversation with them and telling like, hey, what we're better at is on the bookkeeping and the CFO side. Like CFO is probably where we're the best at, but we also really good at doing the bookkeeping. And when it comes down to the tax, like we probably should connect you with another tax accountant. And I would say is in this past year, we probably referred like 15 different clients to different tax accountants because we're like, that's just not the area where we're going to add the most value. And I do think part of that came from, as you were talking about, like, you know, we started getting questions. And when I start realizing that, hey, for a lot of the questions that they're asking, I know how to go find the answer, but I'm spending so much time researching this tax credit or that tax provision this time. And I'm just like, you know what? This is probably a sign that this is probably not what we need to focus.
Yeah. And I think another, like you made a good point. Like we've referred like over 15 business owners or individuals to various tax business owners or tax accountants that we know that are great. And I think really for me, the big realization that I had through that process of just like niching in and focusing on it is sometimes it's scary. Like there's the fear of like, man, like if I focus on this, like for example, all those 15 clients, like, you know, sometimes people will be like, man, like that's 15 clients worth of revenue that I missed out on. But in reality is like, for us, it's just, we are confident in the, I'll speak for myself. I don't want to speak for Eternal, but I mean, I think I'm speaking for both of us. Like we're confident in the value that we offer our clients and we're confident in the value that we offer the people that are interested in doing business with us in the services that we offer. And so I'm not going to be afraid that if I refer this person, you know, to someone else that I'm losing out on the potential revenue, because if you think about it like that, then you're thinking about doing what's in your best interest short term, but is going to leave a long-term impact on your potential client's business and your client's business. Because if you think about it like this is something that they're actively using to run their business. Like even if we take taxes, for example, like if you get something wrong or if you don't give them the insight and the guidance that they need, like imagine the impact that it could have on their numbers. And again, it doesn't go to say like we can't do it and we can't do it correctly, but just that level of attentiveness and the level of insight of, hey, this is how much you're estimated to owe. This is how much you should be paying. Like that guidance that tax accountants give and people that focus on that know at the back of their hand, like we can't offer that, you know? And so for me, I think the confidence is knowing that your business is going to be successful the more focused you are on niching and not being afraid that you're going to lose out on potential revenue because, you know, you're referring someone and then you start with this whole full-based, full-service accounting nonsense.
You know, it's one of those things that I really want to just like say to like, you know, bookkeepers and accounting firms, it's just like, you know, you guys just repeat it with me. I am not a full service firm. Like, this is what I do well. And it's just like knowing that, hey, it is okay to focus. Because I mean, I think even for us, one of the things that, you know, that we started to realize was, you know what, we're not the best bookkeeper for every type of business. At one point we were working with, you know, when we first started off, we would work with any business that would work with us. Started learning like, hey, but I do think that was part of the process. I think immaturity as a business owner is part of the process of you go through making some of those very immature decisions. And I think that as you get a little bit more experience, I think you get to the point where you're just like, okay, all right, you know, it is okay for me to focus. And I think that our focus kind of narrowed down to where we said, okay, we're not dealing with every business. We'll focus on service-based businesses. And I think we tested, worked with a couple different types of service-based businesses, came back and said, okay, all right, let's take it a step lower or deeper and say, hey, you know, law firms and agencies. And and then I think as we started getting clear, and then even it's just like, okay, all right, what types of law firms? So law firms that are more than $500,000 in annual revenue and have at least two employees, to where you really start to narrow it down to realizing like those are the types of businesses that we provide the best service for. And I think even just resisting that temptation to be full service, because there have been some clients that ask about like, hey, I'm looking for someone that can do the bookkeeping and the tax. And I'm just like, you know what? If that's what you're looking for, that's not us. We can help you with it's the bookkeeping and we can help you with the CFO services. And I think it's just like being able to have that conversation. For me, I would say, and I'm curious what you, what your perspective is. Like for me, I feel like that made it a lot easier when it came down to the marketing and when it came down to the sales conversations, is knowing that, hey, I am okay with saying no to this, 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 and this. Like, we don't do like in-house payroll. Like we'll work with like a payroll we'll help you get set up with a third party service provider. We'll run it through a third party service provider. But if you're looking for us to do it by hand and file your quarterly payroll tax returns, I'm like, we're not the one for you. And so for me, I feel like being clear allowed that comfort of just like, hey, how the process goes. And I'm curious for you is like, how has being clear about what you do and don't do, how has that made you feel about the business?
I will say it definitely has reduced a lot of heartache and annoyance of just saying like, dang, like, why are we doing this? Like, you know, sometimes you sign up for something and you don't really want to do it. And you're just like, every time you're going through the process, you're just complaining. Do you know what is so hilarious I just thought about? And this is like a very good example of
the way that I've seen it is a full service accounting firm. And I'm like, okay, so that is so a full lie.
So full service accounting firm. You know what I just remembered? I remember the time when we were a full service accounting firm plus, okay? You remember when we did that marketing? We used to do like the marketing flyers and stuff for one of our clients. Like we were doing bookkeeping and they're like, oh, you know, I need help setting up my website. You remember that?
It's horrible.
Oh, so bad. Like, it's just like, what are you doing marketing, like, or doing a graphic design? I mean, that stuff I enjoyed. I've never hated like that marketing design process than I hated in that moment. And that was one of our bookkeeping clients. And I just remember being like, why are we doing, like, this is not, yeah, they're going to pay us, but like, this is not even what we're selling here. And I think that's what happens when you don't, like, that's what happens when you don't know, like, you don't have niche down to like, what is it that you're doing? So I would say, I just remember that. And I was just busting out like laughing. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is just never again.
And it's one of those things that I do think that there is some room to do different stuff and like to try different things, because I think sometimes like some of the stuff that we've tried, I think it has opened up an opportunity that we didn't know existed before. And so, but one of the things that I've noticed consistently is if it's something that is not in your core wheelhouse and it's something that it just bothers you to actually do it, to where I'm just like, that's probably one of those things you shouldn't be doing. I'll think about an example. I was talking to a owner of a bookkeeping firm, and I was talking to her one day, and I was, you know, she actually reached out to me to do some consulting on some CFO stuff for one of her clients. And so we were doing the CFO analysis while she did the bookkeeping, and I was talking to her, asked how she was doing, and she said she was tired that day. And I was like, okay, you know why? It was like 8 o'clock. She was like, well, I've been up since 4 o'clock at the client site trying to get their IT system back up. And I was like, wait, what? Why are you waking up at 4 a.m. trying to get your client's IT system back up? Like, they hired you to do the bookkeeping. To where I'm just like, I understand that they're paying you, but I'm like, you don't like it. You're tired, and it's distracting you from doing what you do best. And I'm like, that might be a sign that, hey, you know what? You probably don't need to be doing this. You probably need to
definitely not
help your client get comfortable with paying an actual IT company to get their system back up and running. Because
that's probably the wildest thing I've heard.
Because I'm just like, you know, you shouldn't be throwing yourself into that. I mean, but yeah. Like I said, outside of, unless, like I said, if it's something that you really don't enjoy, or it's something that becomes a distraction from what your core solution provides, then I would say probably stay away from that. Now, where I've seen it to be a healthy thing, and which is something that we do as well, is when it's a complimentary service or complimentary product. And you can check out the episode we did, you know, our last episode we did, where we talked about complimentary services and the, you know, increasing profitability. But I think, like, for us, one example is with, you know, adding on data analytics as one of the complimentary services we started offering to our clients, because we realized that is, well, one is we were already having to do it to create the more custom financial models. But the data analytics was something that flowed perfect with what we were already doing, to where it wasn't necessarily the core of what we started off with, but I'm like, it is something that helps us enhance what we already do well, and it was solving a problem for the client. So I do think that there is some room to look at, you know, some things outside of just the core. But yeah, that
I agree. I mean, I agree, but IT, I think, like, that's, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that whole doing the IT. Yeah, that was just foolishness.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a difference. Like, complimentary services, that's within what you already offer. Like, it's just it's an add-on of something that you're already offering. So, you know, it's not something where you're like, oh, I'll do your bookkeeping, and for $700 more, I'll do your taxes. Like, I mean, at this point, it's like there's a certain level of specialty that's required. Now, I will say one caveat that I want to point out is that there are firms which are a bigger size, where you have, in some cases, like with larger firms, right, where you have like 30, 40, 50 people that work in that firm, and each department, they have departments that specialize in specific things, like specialize in bookkeeping, specialize in taxes, right? So, like, from your point of view, like, is that the ideal state for someone who wants to, like, if someone's like, hey, I want to be able to go to one place where I get everything done, like, I don't want to have to split my taxes, I don't want to have to split my bookkeeping, is that kind of where you would recommend that they go?
Yeah, I mean, I start telling business owners, hey, if you want a one-stop shop, then don't be cheap and go with one of the bigger firms.
Because right, like, that stuff costs money.
Yeah, because I'm like, if you're trying to find a firm that will be a one-stop shop and you're trying to do it on the cheap, I'm like, you're probably going to find somebody who doesn't do one or two of the things well, but they may be better than you, but that doesn't mean that they're good. And right. So I always tell people is, if you do want a one-stop shop, is stop being cheap or don't be cheap, and invest some extra money, because it's going to cost you a bit more. I mean, when you want to go that route.
Yeah, because those companies are, I mean, they're running a much bigger operations. Like, if you think about it, they're putting in one business, like, all of the specialties that you have other business owners focus on. Like, for example, for us, CFO services and bookkeeping, like, that's under one house. So if it costs, you know, $1,500 or $3,000 a month, whatever the price is, depending on your type of business, to build this, like, and to have your support, then add, you know, whatever the taxes cost. So I agree. I think price is such a big deal. Like, you can't, or such a big factor. Like, you cannot just say, hey, you know, I want to pay the same amount. I want to pay $1,500, but I want to, you know, only pay $1,500 for taxes and bookkeeping. It does not work that way. So I think that's like a key to highlight.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very important, because even for us, one of the things that I help our clients understand is like, hey, here are the different services we offer. Here's a pricing for each. And I'll be honest with you, we're not the cheapest on the market. And part of that is because we're really good at what we do. Well, let me put it this way. We don't do everything, but the things we do, we are really good at.
Really good.
And you know, and that's where, like, when, like I said, we started doing some of like the data analytics and the CFO services, you know, explaining to people, because some people were asking, well, when you say that you're really good at, what do you mean? And I think that it's one of those things where, like, let's say right now, with things that are going on in the economy, one of the things we started taking a step back and looking and saying, okay, all right, with some of our clients, we're looking ahead of seeing how are these things that are happening in the macro economy, how are they going to boil down and impact your, you know, your medium-sized business? Whereas you may not be directly impacted by, let's say, restrictions or any trade restrictions or changes in trade agreements directly. But if you, even in that inflation episode that we did, if you follow and you understand how to follow the supply chain, you can then start to break it down. And for us, what we're good at is being able to look at that and say, okay, all right, what's the financial impact? And I know that, you know, because I think that brings us to a really important point of talking about, you know, I think just the economic impact of what's going on, because right now there are a ton of businesses that are struggling right now. So I want to make sure we save some time in our conversation to really focus in on that. So I know you and I were talking a little bit off screen. So as it relates to, you know, what's going on in the economy, some of the things we're hearing, what's been some of your perspective and your thoughts on that?
I think one of the biggest thing I would say that I've taken away or that I've noticed is the change in how people are spending their money. And this impacts you as a business owner, because like if you're in, let's say, a service-based business, you need to understand how with inflation, how people are changing their behavior when it comes to the way they spend money. So I would say for me, that has been the biggest thing. And by that, I just mean like, during the pandemic, I think, like for me personally, like one of the bigger lessons that I learned, like from the pandemic, is just, hey, an important focus on, hey, my health, focus on, you know, making the most of my experiences and making I have in terms of just like what I'm focused on and what's important to me and what I'm investing in. And I think that was probably a takeaway for a lot of people, right? Unfortunately, a lot of people lost like people they cared about, lost family members. And so those kind of experiences are not just something that like people can just get up and move on from. And one of the things that I've noticed is like when I was reading the Consumer Report, like one of the things that it said is like travel, even though like spending is going down, like in certain key areas, like when it comes to health and wellness and like travel and stuff like that, like spend is still holding or increasing in some cases. And it just makes me think, like, I think it's easy as a business owner to just say, hey, this is typically how the last inflation or the last recession, this is how people responded. Like, so this is the same thing that they're going to do. And I think as a business owner, it's so important for you to understand how your customers and potential customers, how their behaviors change the market as things are happening out there. Because then you can kind of adjust your strategy, not only to market better, but also to, you know, to support them better. So I know, Terrell, you've worked on some of those stuff, like with some of our clients, just kind of adapting and helping them adapt what they're looking at in the business. Are there specific things that you kind of want to highlight that you've seen or kind of mindsets that you've maybe had to work with our clients to change when it comes to looking and seeing what's happening in the economy?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give a very specific example. Like today, like I had a meeting with a client, and one of the meetings that we were talking about is they're trying to think about, you know, their product strategy. There's, you know, option one, option B, which one should they lean into? And both of the options hinge on them, you know, developing a partnership relationship with a bigger player within their industry. And so one of the things that, you know, that I did was, hey, going back and looking at, hey, it's earnings season. Those companies are those two companies that they can potentially partner with are publicly traded. So going and seeing, looking at their financial statements and looking at what are some of the things that they're talking about in like their 10Qs and also looking at their earnings report and their earnings analysis and really understanding like, hey, what's going on in this market? Because our client isn't directly isn't going to feel the immediate impact. What our client's going to feel is if a shockwave hits those big players, it's going to eventually trickle down to them. And so one of the things we're looking at is, well, what do we need to do today to put our client's business in the best position to navigate any turbulence that's coming down the line? And so one of the things that I specifically encourage, you know, business owners, or if you're a bookkeeper, or let's say you're an accountant, and look and see who are the major players for your, like your clients, who are the major players in their industry? If they are a publicly traded company, go to their investor relations page and look at what the giants in that industry are talking about as the potential headwinds or the potential challenges, because if they're experiencing the challenge, it's not going to be too long until your clients start to experience. So I think, you know, as, you know, bookkeepers and as accountants, where we have an opportunity to really use our skills to not only just look at what's going on with our clients, but look at what's going on in the industry for our client. And that way we can probably give some better advice.
Yeah, no, that's a really, 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 really good point. I think that's kind of just going the extra step. Now, I do want to caveat and say this because, you know, sometimes people listen to this and they're just like, dang, like that's a lot to do if you pay me $400 a month. We're not saying do it for $400 a month. Okay. We're not saying do it for $500 a month. I think this is why it's so important for you to define where your focus area is and what you're good at. And then you can kind of tier it and say, hey, for this, this is how much I'll charge. This tier, this is what it'll include. So I just want to caveat that. Like, we're not speaking to bookkeepers. And as a business owner, you should not expect your bookkeeper to do everything that we've talked about for $200, $300, $400 a month. Like, it's just not realistic. So I think, you know, speaking to both the business owner and the bookkeeper in this situation, but I think you made such a really good point that I want to highlight, which was the point that you made about like being able to understand that eventually those big players in the industry are going to impact your business, or in the case of a bookkeeper, impact the business that you support, your client. And not just even maybe from a standpoint of just how they are, like, for example, where you're both in the same industry, but if you think about even like suppliers, right? So like if you're seeing an impact on the supplier that is like, for example, if I think about, I think it's Uline. Is it Uline? Like the company that provides all of like the uniforms and does like the cleaning and stuff like for a lot of the cleaning supplies for a lot of the restaurants. Is it Uline? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for those companies, like, hey, if Uline is saying, hey, we're looking at a downward trend in the economy, or we're looking that we're going to see that there's going to be an impact, let's say in, you know, maybe they come, let's just use textile supplies coming from China, just as a broad example, right? So to offset that, hey, our supply is going to go down and hey, we're going to be limited on what we can provide. So that likely means that there's going to be less supply, which means the prices are going to go up. And so in that situation, it's just being mindful of that to not just think about, you know, the point that you made, I think, which is a great one, is the players in your industry, but also as you're looking at it, the supply and the products that your customers rely on, how do those changes impact the kind of decisions that you make in your business? So, I think absolutely such good points.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say, we'll probably have to do another episode on this, because I mean, that's something I would say, being able to look bigger than just immediately what's in front of you is something that I'm mm-hmm. really big on. And part of that came from like my time of working in investor relations for, you know, at the time it was a $14 billion company. And part of my job was to read the analyst reports, to read the annual and the quarterly reports of our competitors, and even some of our major suppliers, to get a better feel on what's happening in the industry. So then right. when I had conversations with the CEO and the CFO, and it's like, hey, here's my recommendation based on what I'm seeing happening in the industry. And I think that there are a lot of, you know, bookkeepers and accountants that I think could add more value to their client. And like I said, we'll do another episode on it, but I'll give you a quick hint. There are a lot of bookkeepers who are trying to figure out, like, how do we add advisory services? You know, we're doing the bookkeeping, you know, clients want that because bookkeeping is kind of a commodity. Clients want that. We want to add advisory services. And one of the areas that I think that could be helpful is really talking to your clients about and asking your clients, like, hey, how is your business performing compared to the industry? And the client is probably never take a step back and really thought about that. And one of the things that I've, you know, kind of recommended for some bookkeepers is like, hey, tell your client, hey, we can do kind of analysis and kind of help you understand how your business is comparing to your industry to give you some benchmarks. And what some bookkeeping firms have been able to do is their clients value that perspective enough to be able to start paying them, you know, for advisory services on top of the bookkeeping. And now how you actually do that, some of it, like I said, an easy way is looking at your client, figuring out like who are the publicly traded companies in that industry. And you can simply just go to Yahoo Finance and type in that company's name, and you can look at what are the headlines that are coming out about that company. Like, what are some of the top things that that company is talking about? And then you can also look at the financials, which you should be very familiar with financial statements. And then by doing a simple just overview, like maybe spend, let's say, 15 minutes per competitor, you will quickly be able to see some trends or some common talking points that you can kind of bring that advice back to your client. And I will tell you, your client will appreciate that more. So when you talk to your client about paying for advisory services, they're going to immediately realize, like, yes, I'm getting more value from you, so I'm willing to pay you a little bit more because you're actually helping the business go to a different level of success because you're adding more value with a different perspective.
Yeah, I think that was a really good bonus clip, and definitely a good tip. So we'll do what we can, do another episode on that. Thank you, Terrell, for your feedback and your insight. This is a really great discussion. I think it's so important with everything that's going on today to really be mindful and actively thinking about, from a bookkeeper standpoint, are you offering services that you're good at, not only that you're good at, but also that serve the client and the niche that you're focused on? The F word, as Terrell called it, is one of the things that really can be deceptive because it doesn't focus on doing a lot of times what's in the best interest of the customer and the client. And then also the second point is just when you think about, you know, when you think about excelling in your business, the best way oftentimes is when you're focused on what you're really good at and doing the best thing for your client. And so it's mutually beneficial. So we hope that this has been a helpful episode for you, and we will catch you on the flip side.
We get it. Keeping track of your finances can seem pretty overwhelming when you're running a business. Achieving your financial goals in business should not be a guessing game. That's why it pays to work with someone that can take a hard look at your financial numbers and not add more stress to the balancing act of running your business. The T.O. Turner Group will provide a clear and concise explanation to your financial standing. The T.O. Turner Group will simplify finance and help you make smarter money decisions in your business.